In Mandarin，
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
听众朋友好，今天是2018年10月15号星期一，现在是北京时间傍晚5点，下面为您播报新闻。韩国和朝鲜星期一在戒备森严的非军事区举行高层会谈，讨论了有关落实最近韩朝峰会所达成协议的议题。韩国总统文在寅呼吁国际社会针对朝鲜领导人金正恩的去核努力采取激励措施，不过有很多专家对朝鲜去核是否取得进展持怀疑态度。韩朝领导人在9月的峰会上同意加强跨境合作，开展一系列促进和平、实现半岛无核化的项目。韩朝官员星期一的会议当中同意，在今年年底之前开始更新和连接双方的铁路线以及道路。双方还同意讨论有关一个朝鲜艺术团尽快前往韩国演出的事宜。此外，朝鲜和韩国官员还同意今年11月双方的红十字会在朝鲜的金刚山举行有关朝鲜战争期间离散家庭的会议。韩国总统文在寅改善与朝鲜关系的努力引起美国越来越大的关注，美国担心会在去核努力毫无进展的情况下单纯地推动朝鲜半岛双方的合作。韩国通讯社报道，韩国执政党民主党的党魁李海赞说，他听说罗马天主教教宗方济各希望明年春天访问朝鲜。韩国总统文在寅目前正在欧洲访问，路透社说预计文在寅总统将向教宗方济各转达朝鲜领导人金正恩希望跟教宗方济各会面的愿望。韩国总统府说，金正恩上个月与文在寅总统举行峰会时表达了希望教宗访问朝鲜的意愿。梵蒂冈上个月与北京就主教任命达成临时协议之后，台湾邀请罗马天主教教宗方济各访问台湾。梵蒂冈目前是与台湾有正式邦交关系的唯一欧洲国家。正在访问梵蒂冈的台湾副总统陈建仁星期天单独觐见教宗方济各，邀请教宗访问台湾。教宗方济各表示为台湾祈祷，并两度转达对台湾总统蔡英文的问候。陈建仁副总统发表的声明没有提教宗方济各访问台湾的时间。梵蒂冈多年来一直希望与中国就主教任命达成协议，按照9月22号达成的临时协议，教宗承认中国当局任命的8位主教，包括一名去年逝世的主教。但是教宗方济各表示，今后的主教任命将由中国有关方面和中国的天主教会提名，最终由梵蒂冈决定任命。梵蒂冈表示，这不是一项带政治性质的协议，但是一些台湾官员担心，这可能是台湾最后一个欧洲邦交国将与北京建交的开始。中国驻美国大使表示，特朗普行政当局对北京发出的很多指称没有根据，包括中国干预美国的选举指称。台湾指称中国试图，白宫指称中国试图影响美国下个月的中期选举，让选民不要投共和党的票。白宫没有提供详细的信息。白宫方面还说，中国官方的英文报纸《中国日报》在很多美国报纸的插页是宣传。中国驻美国大使崔天凯说，插页广告是美国媒体常见的方式，在报纸上购买广告版面表达自己的观点。崔天凯还否认美中两国正处于贸易战，尽管两国从对方进口的产品可以高额报复性关税。中国红色歌剧《红湖赤卫队》音乐版将在澳大利亚上演。1960年代的电影歌剧《红湖赤卫队》中有大量歌颂共产党的内容，不知道这次在澳大利亚演出是否会有改动。各位听众，以上是美国之音的新闻简讯，由陆阳播报，感谢收听。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，这星期我们和大家一起复习了以前36课商务通英语的内容，主要围绕三位企业界人士的活动，包括他们的会见和业务洽谈。我们复习的第一课首先是 Blake 先生在史杰饭店办理住宿登记时同接待员之间的一次对话。复习的重点是这次对话里体现的几种重要的语言功能，例如向对方提出要求，向对方确认某一事项，或者寻求对方确认某一事项等等。
This week, we're going to review some of the conversations we've heard in earlier programs. We're going to pay special attention to important language functions in these conversations.
That's right. A language function is something that you do with language. For example, a request is a language function. You make a request when you ask someone to do something for you.
Yes, we're going to hear some requests in our first conversation.We're also going to hear Mr. Blake and the receptionist confirming information. Now let's listen to Mr. Blake checking into the Embassy Suites Hotel.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the Embassy Suites Hotel. Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Blake, Charles Blake. I have a confirmed reservation.
Mr. Blake, yes. And the reservation number?
Let's see. Here it is.14689.
14689? Let me check. Yes, sir, we have your reservation right here. That's for June 10th through the 13th, Monday through Thursday night. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, and the room, sir, is 685 on the 6th floor. I've got the key right here, and I'll get a bellman for you right away.
Okay. What was the price of the room again?
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine. Can I use my credit card for that?
Yes, certainly, sir. Can I make a print of your card before we check you in?
Sure. There you are.
Okay, thank you. All right, fine. We're all set here, Mr. Blake, and I'll get the bellman right away. We'll get you to your room.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check.Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Yes, we can do that for you, sir. Okay, and here's your key, sir. I'll get the bellman. Bellman, front!
What do you think about this conversation?
This seems to be a typical conversation for checking into a hotel.First, the receptionist checks the reservation and confirms the information. Then, she tells him where his room is and gives him the key.
Before he leaves, he confirms the price of the room.
Yes, he does. And he checks to make sure that he can pay by credit card.
What was the price of the room again? Can I use my credit card for that? Can I make a print of your card before we check you in? I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night. Okay, if you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
接着我们复习 Blake 先生住进旅馆以后在电话上同 Epstein 先生的一次谈话。我们也要重点复习这段对话里涉及的语言功能，例如提建议、就一个事项表示确认等功能。这些语言功能在商务场合都是必不可少的。另外请注意，两个人在讨论业务之前先交换了一些寒暄的话。
Now let's listen to our next conversation. When Mr. Blake got to his room, he called Mr. Epstein to make an appointment to meet with him. You will hear examples of suggestions and confirmations.
Yes, these language functions are very important in using English in business situations. And notice that they begin their conversation with small talk when Mr. Epstein asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Okay, let's listen.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein?
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
That's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
Great. Just one other thing. I would like to introduce you to one of our vice presidents, Ms. Shirley Graham. She's the manager of the project that I'm working on, and I was wondering if we could get together again, say, Wednesday.
I have no plans on Wednesday, and I would like to meet her.
Okay. If you could keep your schedule free around lunchtime on Wednesday, and then I'll finalize that appointment with her.
Okay, very good.
All right. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Okay, that's tomorrow, 11:15 at the hotel.
Yes, okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, too.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.
There seems to be a nice, friendly feeling between Mr. Blake and Mr. Epstein.
I agree. They seem to really like each other.
What do you think about this conversation?
Well, they begin with small talk. Mr. Epstein asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Right.
Then they decide on their meeting time. Mr. Epstein also makes arrangements for Mr. Blake to meet Ms. Graham.
And at the end of the conversation, they confirm the time and the place of their meeting.
That's right. They make sure that they have understood correctly.
Thank you, Gary. Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please. Say, when shall we get together? I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound? That sounds fine with me. I'll tell you what, I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. I was wondering if we could get together again, say Wednesday. Okay, that's tomorrow, 11:15, at the hotel.
This
week, we're going to review some of the conversations we've heard in earlier programs. We're going to pay special attention to important language functions in these conversations. First, we're going to listen to a conversation between Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham. The conversation takes place in Ms. Graham's office on Tuesday, June 11th.
In this conversation, we will hear examples of the language for confirming plans.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Come in.
Oh, Shirley, do you have a minute?
Sure. Come on in, Mike. Have a seat.
Oh, thanks. Listen, I just wanted to let you know that I've made reservations for lunch tomorrow afternoon at 12:15. Okay?
With Mr. Blake?
That's right. Of International Robotics.
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
I'll pick you up here at 12 o'clock, and we can go to his hotel together.
All right.
Okay.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay. As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October, because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, so they do two things in this conversation.
Yes. First, they confirm the time and the place for their meeting with Mr. Blake. And Mr. Epstein reports on his meeting with Mr. Blake.
Ms. Graham also confirms that Mr. Blake and Mr. Epstein talked about her concerns.
That's right. She has two main concerns, the October deadline and after-sales service. We'll hear more about those issues in other conversations.
Okay, let's take a short break, and then we'll listen to another conversation. Do you have a minute? Have a seat. I'll pick you up here at 12 o'clock. Do you mean the October deadline? I understand your reservations. I think we really have to go ahead with this. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow, all right? We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
接下来Epstein 先生和 Graham 女士两个人在谈话以后的第二天，又一起在使节饭店的大厅同 Blake 先生会面。
Our next conversation takes place the next day, Wednesday, June 12th. Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham are in the lobby of the Embassy Suites Hotel. They are looking for Mr. Blake.
This conversation contains examples of introductions and small talk.It also shows how to interrupt politely.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake?
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles. This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham.Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
How are you today?
Fine. And you?
Just fine. Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there? Okay?
Okay.
Sounds fine to me.
Okay, let's go.
What do you think about this conversation?
First, Mr. Epstein introduces Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham. And then they make some small talk. They talk about friendly, personal topics.
Yes, Mr. Blake tells Ms. Graham about his day in San Francisco with Mr. Epstein.
Notice that he only talks about the lunch and sightseeing, not about the business discussions.
Yes, I see.
Then Mr. Epstein interrupts, using the polite expression, I hate to interrupt. They'll continue their conversation at the restaurant.
We'll listen to those conversations in our next show. Now let's take a short break. It's good to see you. This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake. Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham. Is this your first trip to the West Coast? I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside. Why don't we get over to the restaurant? Sounds fine to me.
复习第三部分，我们首先要复习 Blake 先生、Graham 女士和 Epstein 先生在一家餐厅共进工作午餐时的谈话。复习的重点是双方在谈话里使用了哪些语言功能来明确各方的立场和意见。
This week, we're reviewing some conversations from earlier shows.
And we're paying special attention to important language functions in these conversations.
Our conversations today all take place at a restaurant. Mr. Blake is having lunch with Ms. Graham and Mr. Epstein.
In the first conversation, we'll hear examples of confirming understanding.
Let's listen.
Well, we were very impressed by your presentation, Mr. Blake. Your robots are very competitive.
I'm glad you think so, Ms. Graham. We plan to be very aggressive selling them in North America.
I'm sure you'll be very successful. However, that brings me to my main concern.
Yes?
There's no doubt that your robots are well engineered, and the price is quite low, very reasonable.But it's the other details that worry me.
You mean about service and support?
Exactly. After-sales service and support are very important, too. As Mr. Epstein has told you, we have a good relationship with United Industries, and we know we can depend on them. On the other hand, your company has no facilities nearby, not even a warehouse for spare parts. That makes me very nervous.
I understand. As I told Mike, I'm sure we can work out a satisfactory arrangement. For example, we can send you spare parts ahead of time.
I appreciate that, Mr. Blake, but we don't want to warehouse spare parts here. It's just asking for trouble, and it also adds to our cost.
Yes, I see your point.
Oh, here's our food. Why don't we take a break for a moment?
Gary, let's talk a little about this conversation.
Ms. Graham begins by complimenting Mr. Blake on his presentation. And she agrees that his robots are well engineered and that the price of the robots is very reasonable. But she's worried about some other details of his proposal.
About after-sales service and support.
That's right.She is concerned because Mr. Blake's company doesn't have storage facilities in California, and she doesn't want to store spare parts in her warehouse.
Yes, that could be a problem. There's no doubt that your robots are well engineered.However, that brings me to my main concern. You mean about service and support? I appreciate that, Mr. Blake, but we don't want to warehouse spare parts here. Yes, I see your point. Why don't we take a break for a moment?
接下来我们继续复习 Blake 先生、Graham 女士和 Epstein 先生在那次工作午餐结束后继续进行的对话。这次谈话里使用的语言功能有向对方提供选择的用语，有澄清立场的用语，还有表示承诺的用语等等。
Now let's listen to our next conversation. This conversation takes place at the end of the business lunch. Mr. Epstein, Ms. Graham, and Mr. Blake have just finished their meal.
The main language functions we'll hear in this conversation are offers, clarifications, and promises. The conversation begins with Mr. Epstein offering coffee to Ms. Graham and Mr. Blake.
Okay, let's listen.
Well, that was a pretty good meal.
It was delicious.
Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley?
Not for me. No, thank you.
Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please.
Okay, there's the waiter. Waiter, could we get another cup of coffee over here, please? Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Graham, let me see if I understand you correctly on this. Now, your basic problem is that we at International Robotics cannot provide adequate maintenance or spare parts quickly enough.
Yes, that's right. That's my main concern.
Okay. Now, you've rejected the proposal that we use your warehouse for storage space for spare parts.
Well, not entirely, Mr. Blake. Let me clarify that a little. Space is limited, and it would depend very much on the quantity of parts, the size, etc. I would need a lot more detail on that.
I can certainly understand your concerns. I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing.
Okay.
And I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow, and maybe we can come up with a solution to the problem.
Okay. Well, that sounds fine. Even then, Mr. Blake, I can't make any guarantees. You know, we've never done business with a Chinese company before, so it's quite an undertaking.
Oh, I can certainly understand.
So I hope you will understand.
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Blake begins by summarizing the basic problem as he sees it.
That's right. The problem centers around maintenance and spare parts. Ms. Graham clarifies her position about storing spare parts, and she asks Mr. Blake to provide her with more details.
Yes.
And Mr. Blake confirms his understanding of each point and then promises to prepare a report for her.
Do you think that Mr. Blake will sell his robots to Ms. Graham?
It's hard to say. Ms. Graham has never done business with a Chinese company, and she doesn't seem to be the kind of person who likes to take risks.
Mr. Epstein wants to do business with Mr. Blake's company.
Definitely. He is very impressed by the quality of their engineering, and he believes Mr. Blake will be able to provide a satisfactory plan for after-sales service.
Well, in future programs, we'll see what happens in these negotiations.
I'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you, Gary. Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley? Not for me. No, thank you. Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please. Waiter, could we get another cup of coffee over here, please? Okay, Ms. Graham, let me see if I understand you correctly on this. Let me clarify that a little. I can certainly understand your concerns. I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing. Even then, Mr. Blake, I can't make any guarantees. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习。 商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，下面为您播报新闻。 韩国和朝鲜星期一在戒备森严的非军事区举行高层会谈，讨论了有关落实最近韩朝峰会所达成协议的议题。韩国总统文在寅呼吁国际社会针对朝鲜领导人金正恩的去核努力采取激励措施。不过，很多专家对朝鲜去核是否取得进展持怀疑态度。韩朝领导人在九月的峰会上同意加强跨境合作，开展一系列促进和平、实现半岛无核化的项目。这些努力包括韩国和朝鲜的官员在星期一的会谈当中同意，在今年年底之前开始更新和连接双方的铁路线以及道路。文在寅总统改善与朝鲜关系的努力引起美国越来越大的关注。美国担心会在去核努力毫无进展的情况下，单纯推动朝鲜半岛双方的合作。韩国通讯社报道，韩国执政党民主党的党首李海赞说，他听说罗马天主教教宗方济各希望明年春天访问朝鲜。韩国总统文在寅目前正在欧洲访问。路透社说，预计文在寅总统将向教宗方济各转达朝鲜领导人金正恩希望与教宗方济各会面的愿望。韩国总统府说，金正恩上个月与文在寅总统举行峰会时表达了希望教宗访问朝鲜的愿望。梵蒂冈上个月与北京就主教任命达成临时协议之后，台湾邀请罗马天主教教宗方济各访问台湾。梵蒂冈目前是与台湾有正式邦交关系的唯一欧洲国家。正在访问梵蒂冈的台湾副总统陈建仁星期天单独觐见教宗方济各，邀请教宗访问台湾。教宗方济各表示为台湾祈祷，并且两度转达对台湾总统蔡英文的问候。陈建仁副总统发表的声明没有提教宗方济各访问台湾的时间。梵蒂冈多年以来一直希望跟中国就主教任命达成协议。按照9月22号达成的临时协议，教宗承认中国当局任命的八位主教，包括一名去年去世的主教。但是教宗方济各表示，今后的主教任命将由中国有关当局和中国的天主教会提名，最终由梵蒂冈决定任命。梵蒂冈表示，这不是一项带政治性质的协议，但是一些台湾官员担心，这可能是台湾最后一个欧洲邦交国将与北京建交的开始。今年10月3号到10月28号在梵蒂冈举行的罗马天主教全球主教代表会议，第一次有来自中国的主教参加。中国驻美国大使说，特朗普行政当局对北京发出的很多指称没有根据，包括中国干预美国选举的指称。白宫指称中国试图影响美国下个月的中期选举，让选民不要投共和党的票。白宫没有提供详细的信息。白宫还说，中国官方的英文报纸《中国日报》在很多美国报纸的插页是宣传。中国驻美大使崔天凯说，插页广告是美国媒体常见的方式，在报纸上购买广告版面表达自己的观点。崔天凯还否认美中两国正处于贸易战，尽管两国对从对方进口的产品可以高额报复性关税。崔天凯大使在否认了美国对中国的指称，并批评美国向南中国海派遣军舰的行动是加强军事紧张之后表示。美国总统特朗普和中国国家主席习近平相互了解，有着良好的工作关系，并将维持下去。中国红色歌剧《红湖赤卫队》音乐会版将在澳大利亚上演。中国文革时期的所谓八个样板戏之一的芭蕾舞剧《红色娘子军》去年在墨尔本艺术中心演出。1960年代的歌剧电影《红湖赤卫队》中有大量歌颂共产党的内容，不知道这次在澳大利亚的演出是否会有所改动。2017年2月15号，中国革命样板戏《红色娘子军》在澳大利亚城市墨尔本的艺术节上演，当天有不到200人在现场抗议。各位听众，以上是美国之音的新闻简讯，由陆阳播报，感谢收听。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
好，欢迎回到美国之音的时事大家谈。美国副总统彭斯发表对华政策讲话的第二天，商务部长罗斯接受路透社专访时宣布，美国有联手全球贸易伙伴封堵中国贸易的战略考量，以逼迫中国遵守国际贸易规范。罗斯说，在新签署的美墨加贸易协定中呢，一项旨在阻止签约国与非市场经济体达成贸易协议的毒丸条款，可能会在未来美国与日本和欧盟等其他国家和地区达成的贸易协定中被复制。美国贸易代表莱特希泽也把新协议呢成为美国贸易政策的样板，意在孤立中国。毒丸条款能否如愿推广？中国会不会束手待毙？北京又该如何解套呢？时事大家谈邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在北京通过电话连线参加节目的是中国经济学家胡星斗教授。胡教授您好。
主持人好，听众朋友们好，观众朋友们好。
在美国马里兰州呢，通过视频连线加入访谈的是旅美经济学者秦伟平先生。秦先生您好。
主持人好，胡教授好，观众朋友们大家好。
这个美国商务部长罗斯呢，他宣布这个要联手全球贸易伙伴围堵中国贸易的这个战略，是在副总统彭斯发表对华政策讲话之后正式推出的。所以我们要评论这个毒丸计划呢，要必须把它放到呢美中关系出现巨变的这样一个这个大环境下来考虑。我首先请问胡星斗教授，您怎么看这个毒丸战略出台的这个时机和意义呢？胡教授。
这个毒丸战略确实是非常狠毒的啊。这个无论是彭斯发表的讲话，实际上宣示着某种新冷战，还是罗斯的讲话啊，罗斯的讲话还是非常狂妄的啊，非常狂妄的，实际上都是想开启某种新的冷战了。彭斯呢，他是迫使大家在政治上选边站，而这个罗斯的讲话呢，实际上是迫使大家在经济上选边站。所以在这方面，川普可以与丘吉尔、里根相匹敌了。啊，丘吉尔因为在1946年的讲话，开启了冷战的序幕。啊，这个里根呢，又通过他的星球大战计划搞垮了苏联。啊，这个后来杜鲁门呢又发表他的演讲啊，是一种所谓的反共主义吧，这个反共，这个当时也是迫使各个国家都选边站，中国选边站，结果就站在了苏联一边，现在呢，中国可能，又有可能爆发新的冷战，当然最好能够避免啊，美中关系巨变。啊，中国又一次处在历史的十字路口，啊，中国不应当被迫成为新的冷战的对象吧？这是第一点啊。第二点，中国现在的确面临着重大的选择，一个选择是，与美国对抗，被迫与世界大多数市场经济国家减少往来，关上国门，或者是半开着国门吧，关上半个国门，重新走国有垄断的道路。但是这种道路实际上是保护权贵和少数人的利益的道路，重新强调独立自主啊，自力更生啊，与世界的主流渐行渐远，与现代化的目标也渐行渐远。另外一个目标呢，那就是进一步的改革开放啊。你这个彭斯他们可能要发动新冷战，那我中国呢，就应当新改革开放，所以我在10年前我就写文章主张新改革开放，要突出民营经济的作用和法治的作用，要高举解放思想，与公平正义的大旗，要融入到世界主流价值之中，成为一个 现代文明的国家啊，成为中国要成为真正的市场经济体，这样才能够迎来中华民族真正的复兴。那不仅是国家的这个复兴呢，不仅是国家的强大和富有，而且是社会和公民的强大和富有。我相信呢，在这样的一个历史的关口，中国高层会有明智的决策。
嗯，
所以不管他这个读完战略啊，这个怎么读吧，关键是中国要选择好自身的战略。
好的，那么我来请教秦伟平先生，美中交恶呢是因贸易战所致，所以围堵中国呀，看来也要以经贸政策先行。您感觉这是特朗普政府改变对华政策的一个组成部分吗？我是说这个读完计划。
这个刚刚公布了，让公众知道这个读完计划，当然是中美之间这个交恶的一部分，可以说是经济对抗的一部分。刚才提到说美中交恶是因贸易战而起，实际上我们要掌握背后的逻辑，贸易战到底是因为是爆发这个中美交恶的原因呢，还是说贸易战只是说中美已经关系发生实质变化，然后是在经济方面的一个表现包括现在这个读完计划可以说这个美国、墨西哥和加拿大这个协议签订之前，他们之间其实爆发了很多就是争议的对方，然后经过多轮的谈判磋商，特别是加拿大最后才同意。那他们之前媒体公布的那个谈判焦点根本就不是说有没有把这个非市场经济国家排除在外，换句话说在已经达成协议的美国、加拿大、墨西哥三国看来把这个读完计划加进去，他们就读完条款加进去，他们根本就没有觉得有什么违和感的，或者是觉得说有什么不合适很顺利的去推行了。那当然是对中国来说是一个很糟糕的坏消息，虽然可能到现在为止除了美国是中国最大的一个贸易伙伴，那像加拿大、墨西哥出口并不是很多，当然我们知道美国下一波的谈判计划可能有欧盟、有日本，那如果把欧盟、日本加起来，那占了中国整个出口市场的一半市场份额，那对中国的影响，如果他们也都完成了这个读完条款的话，那对中国当然是一个非常非常大的一个影响，绝对是美国对付中国的战略的一部分。谢谢。
好的，那么读完条款呢，刚才两位嘉宾都说起源于美加墨三国新签署的这样一个贸易协定，那么美国对于抵制中国呢是自不代言的，为什么加拿大和墨西哥也会同意这样一个以中国为代价的这个条款呢？首先胡教授。
刚才秦先生也已经说的这个实际上已经说明了，就是加拿大、墨西哥对于这个读完条款没有觉得什么的了不起，好像没有多大的反应。原因呢就是加拿大、墨西哥他们对中国的进出口很少，贸易量都不大，而他们对美国的进出口贸易依赖却非常大。比如说2017年加拿大对美国的出口占它的出口的76%，而对中国的出口呢仅仅占它4.3%，而且呢这个加拿大的这个出口呢也都是一些无关紧要的一些对中国是一些无关紧要的一些产品，什么植物产品啊，什么纤维纸张啊等等同样墨西哥也差不多，2017年墨西哥对美国的出口在墨西哥总出口的79.7%，而对中国的出口仅占它的出口的1.6%，可以说基本上忽略不计墨西哥对中国的出口基本上可以忽略不计。这是出口方面进口方面实际上也差不了太多，也就是说对于加拿大、墨西哥来说维持与美国的经贸关系在他们看来比与中国的经贸关系那要重要的多。无论是数据上还是它的进出口商品的这个档次种类那是都完全是不一样的。它从中国这个地方这个进口基本上都是一些机电产品呢而且是中低档的机电产品，什么家具、玩具、纺织品等等这个出口呢 这些国家对中国的出口呢，这个也非常少，而且也都对中国其实也不是什么特别重要的一些产品。
嗯。
啊，所以这两个国家可以说这个经贸关系上的重要性就没有太大的重要性，这是第一点。第二点，加拿大它与美国在价值观上是一致的，啊，咱们必须看到这一点，它在那个深层次的价值观上它是一致的。
嗯。
而墨西哥呢，实际上也美国他们也是基本上是一致的。
嗯。
而且墨西哥它是急于投入美国的怀抱，想步入到发达国家的行列，啊，想摆脱发展中国家的这样一个帽子。啊，想加入到发达国家的行列，所以他要跟美国要一步的搞好关系。
那么我来请教，接下来请教陈先生啊，加拿大和墨西哥都是美洲大国。刚才呢，这个胡教授呢讲了这两个国家与中国和美国经贸关系的这样一个对比。那么，为什么在三国新签署的条约中要加入一个针对中国的条款呢？刚才胡先生介绍了他的观点，那秦先生，您怎么看这个问题？
我在今年呢有到加拿大和墨西哥这两个国家亲身去考察过。
嗯。
他们的经济来说呢，其实都还是不错的。那对于中国的关系，加拿大跟中国虽然贸易方面可能占的份额并不是很高，跟中国政府至少到目前为止表面上的关系还是不错。那墨西哥的情况可能就没有那么乐观。墨西哥其实因为中国的产品在墨西哥造成比较大的一个市场冲击，中国产品价格还比较低廉，算是很容易夺得当地的市场，已经在民间反映到说对于中国的一些排斥或者排挤这样的一个效应。所以在这样的一个背景下我觉得美国跟墨西哥签协议的时候把非市场经济国家排除在外，那当然大家都不言自明了，这个非市场经济国家指的就是中国，排除在外墨西哥应该算是乐见其成的。而且我相信每个国家每个政府每个政治领导人心里都有一本账，这一本账呢主要是经济账，那另外还有一本政治账，要跟谁做生意啊，谁来跟我们带来多少就业机会，带来多少经济增长啊，对我们社会稳定有多大贡献。另外呢在意识形态上他是不是可以做朋友，可以做短期的朋友还是长远的朋友，我相信每个政治领导人都有这本账。所以在美国墨西哥加拿大在签他们新的这个 NAFTA 协议的时候呢这个条款就很顺其自然就这样达成了。那对于其他的国家来说可能会不会有不同的挑战，因为我刚才说了它有两本账，一本政治账还有一本经济账，算经济账的时候可能有些国家领导人算起来呢中国给的利益呢可能比美国给的利益有可能还要大一些，那这个时候是政治账意识形态方面的这种长远的朋友占的份额更高还是短期的经济利益更高呢，可能有不一样的一个状况。
嗯，
我们可以进一步观察。谢谢。
好的。贸易战今天打到我们今天这个地步呢，现在看起来局势已经渐渐明朗了。就是特朗普总统呢，他由开始的包打全世界，现在呢矛头逐渐集中。啊，我首先来请教胡教授，您怎么看待川普的这个贸易战略这个策略呢？
这个川普的贸易战的策略啊，的确是非常厉害。过去可能是小看了他，因为他只是一个商人。其实他这个商人呢，他也有非常厉害的战略战术哈。当然对于中国来说呢，就是非常紧要的呢，就是不要成为美国的靶子，因为美国他总在寻找靶子嘛。寻找靶子当然与他的价值观有关。啊，那或者是以甚至与基督教的某种精神传教士啊这样的一种精神有关，当然也与利益有关，比如说军工利益集团啊等等，啊也与利益有关，所以他总在寻找靶子。中国呢就是要避免成为美国的靶子，所以中国还是应当这个坚持邓小平在韬光养晦的策略，不当头啊，不扛旗啊，低调发展，集中精力。搞好国内的建设。邓小平曾经说我们不要当这个穷国的头，说他们只是看中了中国的钱。现在想想邓小平这个话还真是，虽然很粗啊，很这个通俗易懂，也的确是很英明。所以中国呢这个现在要做的呢其实就是要淡化或者说要避免给 西方人感觉到好像中国是个危险，
嗯，
好像中国在破坏现有的秩序，在另外搞一套，啊，而且中国搞的这一套，在西方人看来好像是与他们的，啊，那种民主自由的那种价值观，那种自由市场经济的价值观是完全不同的，所以中国呢，必须淡化某些做法，比如说"一带一路"啊，啊，人类命运共同体的提法等等，因为这些提法在他们看来，那就是跟西方的那个价值观是不一致的，是另搞一套，所以他们就要打压。因此，中国现在呢是要，不露锋芒，啊，要不露锋芒。那个中国古代其实，你像老子这个哲学啊，他其实就是讲的这个，啊，什么，不要暴露自己的实力啊，什么君子披褐怀玉，就披着褐色的破旧的衣服，但是怀揣着美玉，
嗯，
啊，两股深藏若虚，好的一个商人得要深藏着自己的实力，好像对外像是虚无没有一样，
嗯，
啊，所以我这老子的哲学正是我们现在要学习的，啊，还有像老子哲学那种柔之这个克刚，弱之胜强，那中国现在也要以柔克刚，啊，比如说，啊，这个川普啊，他现在是这种打压中国，封堵中国啊，那么中国呢，啊，反过来反而应当更加开放，
嗯，
啊，反而要与大部分国家达成自由贸易协定，就像现在做的那样，啊，现在中国正在与27个国家啊进行这个12个自贸谈判，或者是自贸的这个升级谈判，
嗯，
这个是对的，啊，中国就应当多向发达国家学习，啊，学习他们的这个长处，学习他们，不仅是学习他们的技术啊，甚至也不仅仅是学习他们的管理经验啊，而且要学习他们的其他的文明成果，所谓物以类聚，人以群分，
嗯，
啊，中国只有更多的，与发达国家友好，与发达国家在一起学习发达国家，中国最终才能够成为发达国家，中国才能够成为先进国家。如果中国总是与一些穷国落后国家，甚至是那些被指称为专制的国家、恐怖主义盛行的国家在一起，那中国就很有可能啊，很有可能被那就会被美国的那就当成敌人啊，所以中国呢，要想成为一个先进的国家，就要与发达国家在一起，啊，首先当然，中国要首先要成为一个正常国家，
嗯，
啊，然后才能成为一个先进的国家。
嗯，好的。那么，刚才胡教授说的呢，也正是啊，我们中国人常说的那句这个俗语，就是物以类聚，人以群分。另外呢，这也是五十人不久前五十人论坛上边这个经济学家张曙光先生向中央提的建议，就是说呢，他建议要像孟母三迁那样，就是说呢，这个要跟好的邻居在一起。那么刚才就着这个胡星斗教授的这个评论呢，我们有一位网评啊，有一位网友他提出这样的一个问题，他请问嘉宾啊，这位网友叫张啊展苏苏展啊，展苏啊展不是叫展苏，对不起啊，苏展啊，他说请问嘉宾，像纽西兰这种已经和中共有 FTA 的国家，明显是美国的盟友，情报共享这个五眼国家之一啊，最近还向美国买了 P8 啊 P8。那么要怎么来规避或者应对这个毒丸条款？会不会有特赦或者某种形式的自证清白，表明自己绝不会做转口贸易？例如实行严格的原产地政策啊，这样一个问题呢，可能是我们许多听众观众朋友们啊，这个比较关心的一个问题。就是说呢，中国现在刚才胡教授说了，和27个国家在商谈自贸协定，那么他们怎么和这个毒丸？如何跟这个避开这个毒丸战略？美国会特赦或者原谅他们吗？啊，我请胡先生回答一下这个问题好吗？
我想，美国与新西兰、澳大利亚，包括这个欧盟、日本等等，都会重新谈判的。
嗯，
但是也不是美国想怎样就怎样的。
嗯，
新西兰他肯定有他的考虑，每一个国家都会有自身的考虑，不会因为新西兰、澳大利亚他们都是与美国的联盟的关系，这个联盟的关系，然后就跟美国一道来实施这个独办条款，我想并不是那么简单的。
嗯，好的。
中国在这个太平洋地区或者在整个世界的重要性，各个国家其实都会看到。
好的，那么接下来
我感觉到，
接下来我们会继续讨论到这个问题。我来请教秦先生，您怎么看特朗普这个战略？他能不能成功的建立起一个这个抵制全国的抵制中国的这样一个全球贸易同盟呢？
到现在为止呢，特朗普的战略可能是越来越清晰。之前可能是用，大家的话说叫暴打全世界，几乎对所有的这个主要贸易伙伴呢都要重新去谈判，重新提出要求。那打了一圈下来，现在才他的执政才不到两年时间，他主要的贸易伙伴基本上都束手就擒，就就范了，达成新的协议，或者说最将要签订新的协议。那对于最大的另外一个伙伴就是中国，中国目前来说都是铁板一块，然后还是在处于一个对抗的阶段。那如果美国单纯的只是为了达成这个贸易协议啊，为了美国优先、美国利益啊，为了美国的就业机会啊，可能不至于说真的去要全球范围去围堵中国。当然，如果当然现在这个政策也越来越明朗了。以前我们在讲说美国可能会对中国发起新的冷战呢，不排除这种可能性的，很多人觉得不同意。目前的事实发展证明呢，就是美国会在经济甚至政治还有军事各方面全方位的去围堵中国就好像胡教授刚才讲的，说中国已经成为他们的一个目标。其实不是说中国想躲避成为这个目标，你这个意识形态完全不一样，而且是一种处于一种进攻式的。甚至彭斯副总统在上个周的讲话里面讲到说，美国已经开始在试图干涉美国的这个民主政治。这是我们中国人有句话叫做是可忍孰不可忍，就是美国已经可能是忍无可忍了这样子。接下来可能美国会更坚决他们自己的这样的一个决心和信心，然后呢向他所有的这种盟友也好，或者说主要贸易伙伴也好，发出这种要求。然后整个世界各国在未来的可能三五年内都会重新的选边站队。短期内呢可能影响不是很明显，但是长期来说呢中美作为全球最大的两个主要经济体，它之间一旦陷入这种对抗的话，不管他们官方承不承认是冷战或者另外一种形式的这种对抗，那所有的国家大国小国都会根据自己的一个政治的上的考量、意识形态的安全，然后呢还有一个经济利益的考量，他会选边站，要么跟美国站在一起，要么跟中国站在一起，几乎没有一种中间的模糊对待。那当然是很危险的一个阶段的。那美国我们知道讲这个市场经济国家，那主要的发达国家都是一个市场经济国家，像中国是一个非市场经济地位，一直在 WTO 十几年都没有被承认。那中国的要么就现在这时候可能就没有多少选择了，要么就是说进行彻底的一个经济的改革开放，把自己变成一个市场经济国家，然后政治上呢可能也要做一些实质性的大动作来消除这种西方国家的这个疑虑，然后让大家觉得说你的那个意识形态没有对大家造成安全上的一个威胁，那这样子的话可能会这个独安计划最终会不了了之。但是如果中国一再会一意孤行，然后认为说是要跟美国血战到底、血拼到底，那这样子的话我相信这个独安计划可能至少在发达国家里面，在美国的主要意识形态相同的盟友里面会比较容易达成共识。那对于中国来说可能会失去可能至少是半壁江山吧。中国去年的出口大概是在2.26万亿，如果说这个独安计划全面实施了，估计至少是有1.1万亿这个出口目标可能就很难完成这样子。那中国可能只剩下一些像非洲啊其他的一些比较贫困弱小的国家，然后意识形态也是比较糟糕的国家，然后会跟中国做盟友这个世界可能会陷入另外一种状况，确实是值得我们警惕和关注。谢谢。
好，我们今天时间关系呢，时事大家谈的讨论到这里就结束了。时间关系啊，我们不能一一播出网友们做出的所有评论。我们感谢胡星斗教授和秦伟平先生参加我们的节目。我们时事大家谈呢是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是他们个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天时事大家谈呢要关注热点话题，邓小平改革开放成空谈，习近平思想不空缺。好，欢迎收听收看，我是许波， 我们下次节目再会。